Hello and welcome to Sox Talk on the Air right here on SoxTalk.com. I am Mario Scalise coming to you from the city of Chicago. And west is Jason Gage from California. Jason, it's opening week. What's up?
Not much. I mean, I am just sitting here. And actually right now, just before I did the show, I was writing my check to the Detroit Tigers. I'm buying season tickets because I want first dib at the World Series tickets.
5-1. And everybody knows when you start off 5-1 in the season, you're clearly the best team in baseball, and you're going to go all the way, hands down.
Well, aren't you excited? Detroit-Milwaukee World Series?
Oh, easily.
It's going to be one for the ages. Carlos Lee, MVP.
Carlos Lee, MVP.
Chris Shelton setting the batting title. What's he on pace for, like 300 home runs and a .688 average?
That's it. Yankees are going to finish in last place. Who else is going to finish in last place?
White Sox.
Sox are going to be finishing in last place.
I feel bad for all those Sox fans. They were just so foolish that they thought that this team was actually going to repeat. Oh, man.
This team is awful. It's awful. They should just blow them up. They should just start a whole new team. Everybody sucks.
You know what I think we should do? Trade our team for the Devil Rays. At least they got some potential.
Yeah, they do. Devil Rays have some potential. They probably got more wins than us. They do. They got more wins than us. Therefore, they are better.
You know, speaking of the Devil Rays, it kind of brought me on another tangent. How crazy was that? The Marlins and Mets were playing this week, and you have the Mets with Carlos Beltran, who's, I think, his annual salary is just over $15 million a year average.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the Marlins, whose team salary is $15 million a year. That's just great. And I think that Marlins actually won one of the games. I honestly
see now
game.
That's what's great. That is what's great. Because you know I'm not a fan of the Mets, so to see the Marlins take one game from the Mets, that makes me feel good.
Dontrelle Willis, he decided that it's no longer the World Baseball Classic where he's going to give up like 18 runs a game.
I know. He was pitching so horrible, and I actually have him on, I don't know what fantasy league I have him in, but I didn't start him because I thought he was going to struggle to start off, and then he just, yeah, he's pitching pretty good.
Yeah, and that's why you aren't a manager.
But going back to our earlier suckiness on the White Sox, I hope the listener, you were sarcastic in those remarks, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell the bank when they get my check. When the Tigers don't make it to the World Series, that's going to be my excuse. No, when I sent you that check, it was in green. It's sarcasm. You're supposed to cash the check. You're supposed to give me free tickets.
It's in green. A green check is invalid, I see, huh?
Well, we're following the principles of SoxTalk.com. And
speaking
of that,
that's
great. We're doing this show as the entire server has crashed, or so I've been told, which means no one's even going to be able to listen to the show until later on today.
No, I'm on Sox Talk.
You are?
Yeah.
Are you being serious? Ooh, I'm impressed. It is back online. Folks,
okay, so back to you Sox Talk people.
I can fix servers just by saying the words.
Okay, back to you Sox Talk people. I do not post on there regularly, so I could say this. 80% of you guys are idiots. No offense. Relax. Okay, it's earlier in the season. Just like every freaking year, there's 162 baseball games. Okay, and I know a lot of you think that April games count just as much as September, and you're right. But if you're going to go by that theory, then the same people shouldn't have been panicking last year in September when the Indians were hot on the Sox's ass. So relax. It happens. And even without it, it's baseball. It's not life. There are more important things.
Whoa. Are you telling me I have to get off this ledge that I'm standing on?
Yes.
There's more important...
Yes. You know what? No. Stay on the ledge. Because if any Sox fan is on the ledge, I'd like to push them off. So just all stand by the ledge, tell me where you're at, and I will personally push you off. Because anybody who's jumping and panicking over this is a moron. It's baseball. It's a long season. Just wait.
Mario, our censors, they say the word is maroon.
What?
The FCC is just coming after us for these comments.
Maroon.
Yes, you got to go with maroon.
Okay, maroons out there, relax. It's just a game.
I mean, it's true. I hope everyone picked up on our sarcasm of the first 5 minutes of the
And
show.
you know what? The Sox in their last 7 games, they are 3-4. The first of those 7 games, they won the World Series. Okay, so there's only 6 games into the season. 6 games. That's it. And everybody who wants to go out there and kiss the asses of the Tigers, cool it. Are they a good team? Yes. But this offense isn't just this dynamite offense. Chris Shelton isn't, you know, the future MVP of this league for years to come.
Do you have a time machine? Chris Shelton is a pretty good player, but
he's a good player.
Right on that.
I have no doubt about that. He's a good player.
I mean, how the Pirates of all teams decided, oh, we don't need this guy, and he goes to Detroit and he just becomes a stud as a Rule 5 pick. I mean, that's why the Pirates just won their first game yesterday.
But at the same time, when a guy starts off batting in the 700 range and now he's batting in the 550 range, come on, he's not keeping that up. He's a good hitter, without question. A lot of these Detroit Tigers hitters are good hitters, but this offense is going to slow down a little bit. They're still going to be good offense, but they're going to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, and the biggest thing is their pitching staff, led by Bonderman, and they have Verlander, and they have Morales. They have a good pitching staff, but it's not good enough to make it to the World Series, and their bullpen is not strong. So, well, like I said, when we did our whole predictions, they'll have one of the better offenses in baseball. They'll get some damn good starts out of some of their young pitchers, and they're going to be in a lot of ball games, but they're going to blow a lot of ball games, and they're going to be a middle-of-the-pack team. Although, in the NL West, I'd be picking them to win the division.
You know what? I think that would be a safe pick.
Thank you.
I think you could take the Tigers, you could take the Brewers, and you could put them in the NL West, and they would be near favorites. You could probably even say they would be clear favorites. They would be competitive nonetheless. But going back to the Sox, this may come out weird, but I am actually very happy that they're starting off this way. I want to see how this team reacts to playing this bad and to having all this heat on them. I want to see how Ozzie Guillen reacts. Guillen did a fine job last year, but he is a time bomb. He is going to explode, or he has the tendency to explode. If they continue to struggle, the media's going to get on him. I'd like to see how he reacts and how he picks up this team, because I could see them recovering and having a good season like I expect, or this could just completely tear him apart. But I'm happy to see them struggle. I think this could actually be good for them in the long run.
It doesn't hurt. I mean, obviously it doesn't help to start the season 2-4,
yes,
losing 2 or 3 to Kansas City. And, I mean, it'd be a lot better if we were losing these games to teams outside our division. You got to remember that.
Yeah.
What we did last year is we took care of business in the AL Central, and that's why we made the playoffs.
And I'll say this. You know, as much as I'm as happy as I am, and not that I'm jumping for joy over this, but I do like the idea that they're starting off slow. But at the same time, this 3-game series against the Tigers, which by the time you probably listen to this, the game one's already over. But this 3-game series, I think it's a key one for the simple fact that when you look at this division, you look at the Sox, Indians, and Twins competing. The Tigers, if they get off to an 8-1 start, possibly, you know the Indians are for real. You know the Twins are going to get better. The Sox could find themselves competing with 3 teams then. So you don't want to give the Tigers too much confidence going, you know, leaving this series. So I do think it's very important in that respect, and just trying to cool them off now before they get that confidence so high where they just go into a roll.
And I happen to think the biggest game is going to be today's game. It's going to be the Tigers' home opener. It starts in, about 20 minutes for us since we're doing the show. You know, obviously we do our show earlier than when you guys listen to it.
Yes.
And the big thing I want to see is what Freddy Garcia does, because if Freddy Garcia is only throwing 89 miles an hour, he's not going to be successful in this league because he doesn't have the control. He has great breaking stuff. He has a great slow curve. He can throw a power breaking ball. He's been mixing his speeds. He's been throwing a little bit of a changeup. He has damn good off-speed stuff, but he doesn't control it. And when you can't control your off-speed pitches, then hitters are going to sit on that 89-mile-an-hour fastball, which he doesn't have good command of.
And you know, every once in a while,
a lot of games like that, a game against Cleveland, where he was freaking terrible.
Yeah, and every once in a while, he's going to be able to live off that, but it's not going to be on a consistent basis. So you're right. He does need to go out there and pick up a few miles on his fastball to be able to actually survive consistently and be the pitcher that he was last year. So this is a big start in for him.
And what the White Sox are doing, what Don Cooper's doing, they said that he never felt loose during a start last week. So they're going to have him throw a few more pitches during his bullpen session before the game and get him warmed up. So hopefully he can come out, and maybe he won't be able to go as deep into the game. But, you know, if he doesn't give up 8 runs in the game, you know, I'm going to consider that a plus, an improvement, so to speak. I don't care if he only goes 6 innings, even though I have a lot of questions on her bullpen. And it has not stepped up. It's lost us one game. You could say it lost us 2 games when Logan gave up that home run to Hafner, but that game was on our offense. Surrounding 21 runners or something. You just can't do that.
Yeah. Well, looking at this rotation as a whole, Burley, he had the four innings in his first start. Was great yesterday. I wasn't able, to be honest, I wasn't able to watch the game in full. I actually, for the start of the season, I've only been able to watch the game bits and pieces because they've had a lot of early games and I've had other stuff going on. Now I think it's going to be I'm in the clear and I'll be able to watch a lot of the games in full. But from what I'm seeing, Burley looked a lot better yesterday. Vasquez. Yes,
he was good. And you know I've been one of the biggest knockers of Javier Vasquez. But he pitched good. He has good. He can throw any of his pitches. And the best part is he's willing to throw them no matter what the count is. So I think with him is having him on a winning team with good defense behind him and having a manager like Ozzie Guillen that's not afraid to kick him in the ass a bit because he needs that type of kick.
Did he look
he
any
needs someone
different?
To kind of motivate him.
Did he look any different than any time you've seen him with the Yankees or the Expos?
I didn't watch him much with the Expos, and the only time I saw him with the Yankees, aside from when he was getting shelled in the second half of the season, was when he was busy shutting out us in the first half of the season. But He looked good. He had a good velocity, good movement on his pitches. He was throwing strikes, didn't get hit too hard. Honestly, I have no idea how this guy's been getting shelled the way he was in the past couple seasons. But it's going to be real interesting to see if he can keep doing this and building upon this. Because I think the biggest thing he lacks is that fire and intensity. But that's what Ozzie Guillen brings, and that's what this team can do. So I think Ozzie with Vasquez and with Don Cooper, who I think is one of the best pitching coaches in all of baseball, they're going to make something happen out of this Vasquez kid, and I think they're going to mold him. And Freddy Garcia is going to be the guy that may be on the fritz. And I know we've talked about it in the past, but Ken Williams has reiterated that next year, Brandon McCarthy is going to have every opportunity to earn that fifth starter spot, which means one of our guys is going to be gone. You can and there was even reports out of Ken Williams' mouth.
Garcia and Garland.
A quote was Garcia and Garland. They don't even realize how close they were to being traded. And Garland got hit his first start. I'm not too concerned with Garland. I actually didn't watch much of the game. I saw him in the first inning, and the biggest thing that stood out to me is his changeup is like twice as good as it was last season. And I realized he got hit. I didn't see the part where he got shelled and blew the lead. But it's going to be nice seeing Garland because he's just so nice to watch.
I don't have the numbers to back me up completely, but it seems like throughout his career he's had some rough starts in Kansas City.
I'm pretty sure he's like 11-3. Who was going to that game? That's all they were talking about is how good he was against the Royals.
He's, you know, I don't know why I was thinking he's had a couple rough starts in Kansas City. Maybe I'm wrong in that. Maybe I'm getting the team mixed up. So
Texas usually hits him.
Texas does usually hit them. You are right about that. Now with Contreras, he battled that one start he had.
He battled, but he looked good. He was dropping down. He was comfortable. And actually, it's kind of funny. I never heard this before, but I guess every team prior to the White Sox, well, i.e. just the Yankees, they wanted him. When he was in Cuba, he was throwing his, you know how he throws his sidearm pitch and he drops down?
Yeah.
He was throwing that whenever he wanted to. He would shake off pitches whenever he wanted to. He was kind of able to do his own thing. But when the Yankees got him, they said, no, you can't do that. You got to throw over the top all the time. And they wouldn't allow him to shake off. They basically took him out of his game.
Yeah.
And because of that, he was getting hit, and his confidence just went down, and he was not allowed to do what he wanted to do to get better.
Well, I was happy to see that he was battling, because usually it's you know, maybe last year aside the second half, it was either he was really good or really bad. So to see him actually battle, meaning, I mean, he had good stuff, but he didn't have his great stuff, and to see him battle like that, I think that's a good sign for the rest of the season for him. I still have a concern of whether his arm's gonna stay healthy all year round, because I always have some doubts when somebody's throwing at that angle. But I think that's a good sign that he did battle in that first start.
Well, I think you brought up an excellent point. The difference between a Cy Young Award pitcher or a good or great pitcher is when they don't have their best stuff.
Battle.
They battle and they give up, you know, three or four runs, go 6 or 7 innings, and they keep their team in the ballgame.
Yeah.
And when they have their good stuff, which is only a few times, you know, every 7 or 8 starts, you may only have your really good stuff once or twice.
Mm-hmm.
In those games, you just shut them down. And then you have those games where two or three of your pitches are working when the other one isn't, and you're still able to pretty much shut them down. That's a good pitcher, a good to great pitcher. Yeah. And if Jose Contreras is healthy this year, he is going to be that Cy Young Award type of pitcher.
And you know what? Overall, and once again, I've only seen bits and pieces. I'm not really too worried about the rotation. I think it's going to hold up after a while. I think RC is, he's going to find his velocity at some point, and I think he'll be fine. I never really thought Garcia was this great pitcher. I've always thought he's been a solid, you know, number two starter at the tops. But I think he will figure it out. I've always have had confidence in Garland. Maybe he's not going to win 18 games again, but you know he's going to put up 14, 15 wins. He's going to give you 6 innings every start as the season goes on. So rotation I'm fine with. The bullpen has had some troubles, though. Outside of McCarthy.
Yeah.
Who
he's the one he thought was going to be real suspect, Henry, because he didn't have that experience. But once the major league season started, he flipped the switch, and he's been real good. Cliff Polite, like I told you in our last show, which was right after opening day, he just doesn't quite look the same. That said, Mike Sweeney kills the White Sox. It was not a bad pitch. It was hit out of the ballpark.
That's what I hear. It wasn't a bad pitch at all.
It was a low and away changeup. At the same time, he had kind of sped his bat up. It may not have been the best pitch to throw, but
okay.
Sweeney flat got us. And it was another one of those games. We've been hitting the ball hard in terms of home run power. It just hasn't been going out because the wind's been blowing in and the conditions are cold. So I think we're going to see this team hit a lot of home runs later on in the season, and our offense is going to improve. But the biggest problem of this offense so far has been the top of the order. And it's not Tadahito Iguchi, but Scott Pacenik. It's really been awful. I mean, he's been flying out, popping up pretty much every at-bat. He's swinging at balls. He's not getting on base. You can see he's still kind of favoring his groin. And a Scott Pacenik without speed is a Scott Pacenik that I don't want on the White Sox.
No.
That said, he's coming back. He had a short spring training. I'm willing to give him a few weeks to get healthy. But if he's not really healthy, we shouldn't have him playing. We might as well just have Ozuna's a terrible left fielder. We might as well call up a guy like Jerry Owens and throw him in left field for 2 weeks, give Owens a little bit of time up here, and let Pacenik get healthy. Because
we're not
going to win this thing in April. But if we have Pacenik not healthy in April, he's not going to be able to get healthy in May because if he's always favoring his groin and he's not able to get to 100%, he's worthless.
I don't think the Sox would be playing Pacenik if he was hurt. That just never has been their...
That's not Ozzie's M.O. I mean, just look at the Jermaine Dye situation.
Jermaine Dye, they set him out for three, 4 days because of what? He had a tight calf.
And that's just Ozzie being careful. He's real careful with
Tadahito Iguchi played only 130 games last year because he was worried he's going to get it tired. I think the whole thing with Pacenik is I don't know if he's necessarily hurt. I think it's like you said. I think he's being very careful with it, and he made it clear himself. He is losing a little confidence right now. He's not positive that his groin's healthy. I guess he's afraid that it could act up again. And he's just trying to get comfortable. So I think that's really more... I don't think he's hurt. I think he's just afraid of the injury coming back. And I think it's going to take him a few games. Now, with that said, today's game, we really can't talk much about because the game's going to be starting in a few minutes. But Wednesday, Thursday, they have off Tuesday. Wednesday, Thursday, they're facing two lefties. And I believe they're facing Murath, and they're facing another lefty on the Tigers. I'm not sure who it is. They have plenty, though, okay?
They still have Robertson in their rotation?
It might be Robert. I think it's Nate Robertson. They're facing two lefties, though. That's the last time I've seen it. You have Tuesday off. If he goes out there and he has a bad game, do you maybe sit him for a few days knowing that they're facing some lefties and just kind of just have him sit on the bench, have him work on his swing and batting cages, and don't put him in the game?
I think right now, even though I'd like to get him out, I think when you have a left-hander pitching to him, he's a little more aggressive. And right now, he's been too aggressive.
That's a good point.
Honestly. However, he seems to kind of focus in. You got to really be focused against left-handers. And I don't mind playing him those couple games because he needs at-bats. He didn't have enough in spring training.
I would agree.
Because of that, he's kind of forcing himself now that he's in the slump, and he's swinging at that up-and-in fastball. And he's really digging himself into a hole. And that's how things work in the major leagues. When you're in a slump, you're chasing pitches, so you're always in that 0-2 count, and you're just in trouble. And it's been kind of the same way with Brian Anderson. He's taking the strikes that are right down the middle, and then he's swinging and missing at the pitches way outside, you know?
Yeah.
Because when you don't have confidence, you're not willing to let that pitch go by, or you're not willing to, you're just trying to basically get out of the slump in one swing.
Yeah.
And then once you get past that, you start working back into your game and getting back into a comfort zone.
Well, you know, I'm gonna give them these next two series. I'll be able to watch a few more games. And I'm gonna watch him these next two series to kind of see how his swing's developing. And if he's still slumping, then I think it's okay. You know, something's got to happen or something's got to be wrong. But you know, it's only six games into the season. Guys get into slumps. You know, you look at last year and how awful guys like Jermaine Dye and Paul Konerko were. I mean, they were just absolutely pitiful the first 2-3 weeks of the season. So I think you give Pitsenik a little bit more leeway. But if this goes on for a couple more series, and the approach, I think, is more important.
Yeah, that's the concern. It's just their approach. I'm not too concerned. I'm not one that's – it's six games into the season. You got to give guys a little bit of time. I say play him, get him his at-bats, see what happens, see if you see improvement. Yesterday, he hit four ground ball outs. That was improvement enough to me because he's getting closer to that line drive swing, because when Pitsenik's bad, he's just popping the ball up, and he's just throwing at-bats away. But enough with the negativity, Mario. Let's talk about Jim Furkantome. We have A.J. Pierzynski. These guys have been fantastic. Pierzynski, he's just going opposite field. He's looking like the guy that was with the Twins that used to kill us at the plate.
And that's good. You know what? I would take the guy who was on the Twins over the guy last year any day of the week. I mean, you want his attitude to stay the same. You want him to be the guy who's going to trash talk and piss off guys like Casey Blake. You want him to be that type of player. But if he could be the hitter he was with the Twins, that's what you want. You want that slap hitter.
And we're not talking about like A.J. Pierzynski last year. We're just talking about his offense last season.
How he had
his low average. Defensively, you like how he calls a game. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't throw guys out, but our pitching staff is futile aside from Burley and Garland when it comes to holding runners. Yeah. But you like the fact that this year he's going to hit for a high average if he keeps his approach. He's going to hit 290 or so. And it's going to be nice. And he is strong enough that I still think he'll hit 17 home runs. And he's going to learn that he doesn't have to just swing for the fences to become a pole hitter to have power.
And maybe the whole insertion of a Jim Thome into the lineup brings a little more power. It takes the pressure off them. At least you would hope so.
Oh, yeah. And how is Thome produced? I mean, he hit his third home run yesterday in a 2-0 game, gave us a little insurance. His eye is fantastic, and I don't know if he struck out in the last two games, but he hasn't even struck out yet. This is a damn good Jim Thome. I'm just hoping he stays healthy. This Jim Thome that I've seen these first few games, he looks like a guy that could win the MVP. I mean, this is about as dominant of a guy I've seen in the Sox as when Frank was in his heyday.
Yeah.
And I just want to see him continue and stay healthy, because right now I'm jazzed. Every time Thome comes to the plate, I'm like sitting down and watching, and I don't usually do that with players. But with him, I just want to see that at bat. There could be no one on base in two outs in a 10-0 game where the Sox are losing. And if Jim Thome's coming to plate, it's like, I'm going to sit down and watch. It's kind of like if Barry Bonds at the plate.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to sit down and watch.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I don't want to make the show seem live or anything like that, but the game has started, and Pitsenik is batting up, and he's got a 2-0 count. So I'm observing him, and he's now 3-0. So
and, he
seems to be looking at the pitches a little bit better, even though they've been clear balls. So,
hey, we got to look at the positives of things. And in another positive, Bobby Jenks, we've made a lot of comments about how I can't put Mario in this boat. I've called him fat. I've called him lazy. Ozzy's called him selfish.
I've agreed that he's fat. I don't know if he's lazy and selfish, but he is fat.
Well, I guess and Homer Simpson's fat too. But Jenks was throwing gas yesterday, as Hawk would say. He was hitting 100 miles an hour. Creedy freaking saved him, though, with a couple of just phenomenal plays. It's why Creedy should win a Gold Glove.
Hopefully.
But he's got to get his offense up so people will vote for him, you know.
Which isn't that ridiculous? A A guy has to put up offensive numbers in order for him to win the Gold Glove.
It's just like a guy has to hit 40 home runs to win the MVP for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to get the MVP hitting 330 home runs, stealing 30 bases, playing great defense. Don't ask me why, but someone who hits 260 and hits 55 home runs somehow is more MVP worthy in the eyes of the voters.
But yeah, Bobby Jenks, he was throwing hard again.
His breaking ball was not there yet. But the thing is, it looks like he's getting back into shape. He didn't quite look as awkward throwing the ball. And what Hawk and DJ were saying during the game was that during his bullpen sessions, Bobby Jenks has been throwing, you know, triple digits. And it's good to see. And I think as his fastball's back, now we're going to see over the next week or so, we're going to see that breaking ball come back. His slider was still a little flat. His curveball, he's not throwing enough strikes.
If he enters spring training, if he's telling the truth about him adding a lot of more muscle, you know, during the off season instead of actually staying loose, it's going to take a while for him to loosen up. That muscle's still there, and you know, with any running he's got to do or throwing he's got to do, I think it's going to take a while. So I wasn't too surprised with him throwing 94, 95 in spring training. However, I do feel that as the season goes on, he's going to lose velocity at times, and he's going to get hit hard.
I think Ozzie just has to know that every once in a while he'll give him a couple days off and just say, hey, relax, we're going to throw Kotz in here and let him save a game.
And we're golden. That's where I think McCarthy comes in. I said this a week or 2 weeks ago. Use McCarthy as that long reliever who's going to be coming in late in the game. And if he's got to throw the ninth inning, let him throw the ninth inning. You know, last week, I believe when he had Boone Logan pitch to Hafner in the Indians series, it was Boone Logan, he had McCarthy pitch one inning. Now he said after the game that he didn't want to tire out McCarthy, but if McCarthy was capable of going 2-3 innings that game, let him go. You know, worry about the rest for McCarthy after those games. And by giving him longer innings, you save a Jenks here and there, because I'm not sure if a Jenks could be able to close day in and day out.
I wouldn't have a problem with that per se. The problem is that Brandon McCarthy is going to be elevated into a very key role, pretty much right now, because our bullpen has struggled with Cliff Polite not being as good, and you think it's gonna force
him into more of a one inning. Using
him as a one inning guy, 1-2 innings, and every once in a while we're gonna stretch him out so he's ready in case we need a starter. But it's gonna be Logan or Thornton as the long man, and that's gonna be that, because McCarthy is too good to waste in the 5th and 6th innings of ball games where we're not gonna possibly be winning. Now I'm not against your 3-inning save idea. The problem with that is we don't usually need 3-inning saves. Our starters go 7 innings. So if we're sitting back waiting for a 3-inning save, we're kind of wasting.
No, Brandon McCarthy. But what I'm saying is over the course of a week, okay, you may have 6 games. Of those 6 games, you might have 1 game, maybe 2 games in that week where a Garland's going to go 6 innings, where a Garcia's going to go 6 innings. And then you could use McCarthy to more or less finish up the games. But then when you have a start of Burley, because you know Burley's going to go 7 innings, then you could kind of have a variety of guys. You could have a Kotz, you could have a Jenks, you could have a Polite, you could have a Thornton, and you could just mix these guys all in and have them cover, you know, 2-3 innings. But then these other games where you need 3 innings out of the pen, instead of going to all these guys who you don't know what they're going to do, you just pop into McCarthy, you know he could go long, and you finish the game that way. So that's kind of where I'm coming with that. I still think that, you know, you're going to need the other guys, but just use them. Basically, the job that 3 relievers would do in the pen, or the amount of innings 3 relievers would cover out of the pen, let McCarthy do it.
I think we're going to have to differ our opinions, because I like using him in a role where we're throwing him out there 3-4 games.
No, you know what? And I don't disagree with that. I don't think Ian has a choice right now. I think eventually that's what it's going to come down to. He's going to have to pitch 3-4 times a week. I wish that wasn't the case.
Ideally, I wish he was in our starting rotation and we traded Freddy Garcia for a legitimate reliever or two. We could have got 2 damn good arms for him and we'd have been golden. That said, we wouldn't have had depth if one of our starters went down, and this is all in hindsight. And Garcia's probably going to have a good year. I mean, I'm not too concerned, as we said. With that, we had an email last week. Let me pull it up here real quick. Let's see here. Oh, shit. I had it in front of me. Let me find it.
Can you remember it? You don't have to read it, you know, word for word. Can you remember it?
Yeah, but I gotta see the name real quick.
Ed Smith.
Oh, I'm gonna find this thing.
Ed Smith doesn't work for you?
No, I don't know an Ed Smith.
Hubert?
Hubert. I don't know Hubert. Okay, I'm going to find the article, the email in a second. But basically the email was asking us our take on the opening day game. We talked about how impressive the Sox offense looked. But what he was asking was, how much of it really was the Sox winning that game? Or was it more the Indians losing the game in a visiting city? Because he brought up an excellent point. The Indians had all the momentum. They scored 3 runs off Burley, and then the rain delay came. And with our home crowd there and everything, the Indians basically came out. And had that question been asked to me on Monday, I would have said we won the game. But after watching our team play the next couple games, it was more so that Cleveland pitching walked numerous guys and basically handed us over that game. Our guy, McCarthy, pitched great.
That is where the key in the game was. When the rain delay ended, there wasn't really much of a home field advantage because there was probably 6 people in the stands. So the home field crowd really didn't have much effect after the rain delay. Second, McCarthy covered 3 innings, whereas the Cleveland bullpen was... Who was their option after Sabathia got hurt again? It was great.
Oh my God. What a play by Creedy. Okay. This is just interrupting everything, but he just saved Freddy Garcia.
I didn't see it.
Chris Shelton had doubled, and just watch that replay right here. They're showing it.
I'm on delay. Hold
great
on.
Play. He just
they didn't show the replay. Okay, they didn't show the replay. Now back to my point. I was making a good one, too.
Sorry, we aren't usually for play-by-play, but I love Joe Creedy.
Now, what was my point here? What were we talking about again?
We're talking about the Indians really handing the White Sox that game.
When Sabathia got hurt... Which really shouldn't have been a surprise. It shouldn't have been, oh, what a tough break, you know, or good luck for the Sox. Danny Graves came in, as opposed to a Brandon McCarthy. That game was won because the Sox had a Brandon McCarthy in the pen, and the Indians didn't. That's why that game was won. So I think the Sox did win that game. I also think that the Indians just completely dominated the Sox the next 2 with their starting pitching.
I wouldn't say they dominated us
the next
2.
Westbrook pitched good.
The third game, we freaking hammered the ball.
There was no reason
we should have beaten him by freaking 8 runs. That was a joke on the White Sox. It was all on the White Sox. Their bullpen, Danny Graves, is not very good. Mota pitched really good. Bob Wickman doesn't scare me.
No.
And like I've said, this Indians team is not as good as they're playing right now. I actually don't think they're that much better than the Detroit Tigers. The cream of the crop in this division is the White Sox, and they will rise.
Well, I don't know if I agree with you on that. I do think that the Indians have a better bullpen than the Tigers. I think their rotation is probably better just at the top of the park, especially if Sabathia ever gets healthy and you combine him with the Cliff Lee and Westbrook has all the talent in the world to be a good pitcher. I think their rotation...
The Indians have better pitching, better bullpen by a decent amount, and a better rotation in terms of depth. I happen to think Bonderman is a better pitcher than any pitcher
offensively, you might be able to say that the Tigers are better, but... It's not like the Indians don't have hitters. The Indians have enough offense to hold themselves, too. So we're getting into a whole...
But I just want to quickly also thank Jeffrey Straub. He's a Twins fan that listened to us. It's the second time he's going to keep listening to us. And as a person that's from the Midwest, or his family is, and all my family is actually Twins fans for the most part, aside from my dad, I'm going to be rooting for the Twins to win the wild card. So,
I like the Twins.
I hope you guys have a good,
Twins.
Season. Yeah.
I've always, you know, outside of I think Torrey Hunter, I don't mind the Twins. So I'm rooting for the Twins. I actually hope they finish in second place. I would love to see them get the wild card. I actually, you know what? As much as I may have criticized the Tigers, I hope the Tigers do good this year too. I mean, as much as I want the Sox to win, I would love to see this division be the cream of the crop in baseball.
But how can we be the cream of the crop when our own players just can't stand us? Paul Konerko, opposite field double. I'm working my play-by-play skills in case anyone's listening, and they decide that Chris Singleton and Ed Farmer are just so bad that
okay,
they can
hold
hire
on.
Me. The score can hire me.
I don't want to get into that. That's for another day. For now, we're going to leave. We're going to come back next week.
But what about Carl Everett? That's an important situation. Well, it's really not that important.
No, it's not important because I haven't watched the Sox game closely in the season.
It just figures you're going to start watching the game when Canerco doubles, and now that we've won a game in a row.
You know why? Because we're doing this show. I missed the Creedy play. I missed Canerco's double and his run to second base, or his whatever you want to call it, to second base. I miss Freddy Garcia. I haven't seen a damn thing. So now I got to trust what you're seeing, and that's not always accurate. So please, let's call it a show. Let's call it a week. Let's come back next week, okay? If anything, the next words out of your mouth should be, here is our email address. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. Those should be your next words. Say it.
Well, since I don't want to get grounded, thanks for listening. We'll be back with you next week on Monday. As always, I have to give a shout out to my sites, SoxTalk.com, FutureSox.com. We're back up and running. It's newly revamped. We're going to have our top 25 list for all you interested in prospects.
I never give a thumbs up for you to do that. You know that.
Yeah, you know what? Ground me. TalkBulls.com, TalkBears.com, and TalkBeehawks.com. Right now, TalkBulls is pretty hot. Everyone's jacked up about this playoff race. The Bulls are the 8th seed now. They blew the game. They just played pathetic. We could have been up 2.
They blew it. Them blowing, when they win, they blow things. Okay? They're not supposed to win.
Oh, AJ Pierzynski hits it. Ah, Rondo White makes a good play.
I just see the catch. That's all I see because you're talking. Once again, can we please call it a show?
And that's it. If you have any feedback, send it to us at contact@futuresox.com, and we'll be with you next week.
Thank you.